The new year brings forth new dreams, aspirations, and hopes. Among all our wishes for the new year, so many of us are hoping and dreaming of travel. A chance to get away for a bit, to explore, to wander, and to discover. As we continue on with season 5, where we share travel adventures and travel stories with locals from around the world, I know I, for one, have so many places that I'm just waiting to add to my wish list of travel adventures. Today, we travel virtually to a place I have dreamt of for quite a while now, the Czech Republic. Josephine and Dominic, a digital nomadic couple who now have made their home in Prague, take us along an exploration of their city as well as their country. A place known for its dramatic landscapes, hundreds of castles, stunning national parks, and so many World UNESCO heritage sites. Joe, who is from Denmark, and Dom, who is from Canada, share a lot about their journey, how they met, why they opted for a nomadic lifestyle, and also what prompted them to lay down their roots in Prague. We also chatted about the importance of a gap year. That year where most people take time to explore not just the world around them, but also themselves. So many people swear that taking that gap year just before they settle down into the routine of life was one of the greatest experiences of their life. While I didn't quite have the luxury of having a gap year right out of school, Joe and Dom made me realize that a gap year can really be taken anytime in one's lifetime. So you know what? Now I'm dreaming and plotting my own gap year in a few when my kids are finally out of the house and I become an empty nester. Life is full of adventures, no matter where we go and what we do. And thank you to Joe and Dom for sharing their life's journey with us on this episode of Culturally Ours, where we get to explore Prague and the Czech Republic.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Dominic and Josephine. Thank you so much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I am really very excited to have both of you on the podcast. And I cannot wait to chat with you, get to know you guys a little bit better, and get to know your corner of the world a little bit.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
We're really excited to be here.
Absolutely. So before we begin, could you guys tell us a little bit about sort of who you are, where you're from? Just to sort of help set the stage for this conversation.
Yeah, so we're Dom and Joe, a Danish-Canadian travel couple. I'm Joe, and I was born and raised in Denmark, in a city called Aarhus. And so when I finished high school back in 2015, in Denmark we finished high school like a little later than people do in North America. When I finished high school, I took a gap year, and I decided to go travel with a friend and went to Australia and ended up living there for a couple months. And that's where I met Dom. And since we met, we've lived in a couple different countries around the world. And back in 2017, I went to university and for marketing and management communication. And after about a year, I was like, this sucks. I miss traveling. I want to go see the world. I want to work online. So I got a job online. And then we moved to Czech Republic. And so
now we're back for round two. And yeah, so my story is a little similar, but yeah, I grew up in the prairies in Alberta with my parents, and they are actually from the Czech Republic. So it's kind of funny where they immigrated to Canada, and now I, in a sense, not immigrated, but came back to their homeland. And
yeah.
So me and Joe, yeah, we met in Australia and then have sort of been traveling since. And we kind of settled here in Prague, at least for the time being. We haven't put an end date to it, but at least for the next year or so until we kind of figure out what's next.
Yeah, so you guys are typical of a couple that home is wherever you are, right? Even
right.
though you're from different parts of the world, you guys kind of now live in Prague. So how, I know you guys said that you met in Australia, and was there a reason to kind of have Prague as your sort of home base, or did it just kind of happen?
So as I mentioned before, I was in a university, and when I was in university, Dom moved to Denmark with me. But given that he's from a different continent, because he's, you know, Canadian North America and Denmark mm-hmm. is Europe. So for anyone who doesn't know, it was a little harder for him to get a visa. So he got a visa for 1 year. And when that okay. expired, he had to find a different country he could live in. So it was either going back to Canada or finding a different country in Europe so that he could, you know, stay, so we could stay closer together. And so we found this cool course in Prague where you can learn how to teach English to...
English as a second language.
Yeah, okay. English as a second language. And so they offered this course in Prague, and Dom could get a visa here because at the time he didn't have a citizenship. And so that's kind of how he landed here. And then I decided to drop out of uni and move with him.
Okay.
And I just wanted to share, just in case anyone listening is interested, say, in moving to Europe and moving to the Czech Republic, it's actually quite easy to get. It's called a živnostenské visa, which actually enables you to come here and work remotely and work in the Czech Republic, and then end up maybe staying for a year or two and then getting residence. And then I know lots of expats who have actually essentially moved to Czech Republic, and now they've been here 10 or 15 years and call the Czech Republic home. So it's a very, yeah, it's an easy way to kind of come to Europe. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
In case anyone can't remember the Živno, then it's basically a freelance visa. So if you search for freelance visa Czech Republic, I'm pretty sure it will come up.
That is definitely good to know. And I'll make sure I put that in the show notes as well. It's interesting because when I was growing up and when I finished, you know, university and all of that, this whole concept of gap year didn't exist. You kind of went from school to university to work, and just life just kind of took on. I wish I could go back and do this whole gap year thing, because it sounds, and I've heard it from a lot of other people too, it's very interesting, and you get so many different experiences that you sort of miss out on.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, kudos to you guys.
Yeah, I guess it's not too late.
I think in that way, Europe almost, like you said, Kartika, I think Europe almost has it figured out where, like, yeah, North America, I think USA and Canada, it's the same thing. It's high school, college or university, yeah. and then career and family, where, yeah, I find most, or at least quite a few countries in Europe tend to have that gap year where you get to go travel to a country or kind of make some experiences before you maybe decide where you want to go to school or kind of your next step.
Yeah. See, now I have a 14-year-old, so that's definitely something that she's kind of looking into mm-hmm. once she gets out of high school. And, you know, it's just times change, right? So mm-hmm. yeah, Joe, when you said it's not too late, I have to wait a few more years before my kids are out of the house. Before I do that.
When she's off to college.
Yeah, for sure.
There's definitely no age limit on digital nomads nowadays, so.
That is true. That is true. And especially with the situation that we're in now, who knows how long that's going to last, but everything is remote. I mean, my kid's school is remote, so
technically. It's very interesting, yeah. Oh, I was speaking with my brother, actually, and he works at quite a big bank back in Canada. And last week they had a conference call, and he actually said that there's no way they'll be going back into office until at least 2021. So, yeah, it kind of looks like we're in for the long haul with this one. So,
for sure. I think a lot of the businesses that have like physical locations, I see so many signs for, like, you know, for sale or for lease. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to mm-hmm. kind of go back, and some of the bigger companies too, like Google and I guess Microsoft, and everybody has said, you know, you're unlimited, you know, for indefinitely you are online and you're working remotely. So
yeah, and I mean, for some people it's really awesome because then it gives them the freedom that some of them have been longing for a long time. Yeah. But for other people that just want to be in the office and are, you know, motivated by being surrounded by people, that's really tough.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll kind of touch on that a little bit later too. But in terms of, like, you know, just what we've been talking about and the whole, you know, kind of pandemic situation, how has sort of your community or your local area, talk to me a little bit about how you guys are dealing with, you know, the pandemic so far and about, you know, how things are reopening, if at all they are.
Right. So for Dom and I, this pandemic has been a little different because we were first in Mexico and then in Canada. So we can't fully speak to what it was like in Czech Republic in the beginning, but we have friends who were here and they were doing pretty well. They had a pretty long quarantine, but everyone sort of, it seemed like everyone was like following the guidelines, wearing masks, like keeping the distance when they went to the grocery store and staying indoors. It was like a full lockdown for, Dom, was it like 6 or 8 weeks?
It was, yeah, it was close. I think it was close to 2 months. It was quite a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Czech Republic was doing really well. They didn't have a lot of, you know, when you looked at the numbers, they didn't have a lot of cases. They didn't have a lot of deaths. And then they sort of reopened over the summer. Everything has seemed pretty normal here, honestly. Mm. No masks other than when you're in the metro. And then other than that, you wouldn't even really notice that the pandemic was going on. But now cases are going up again a lot. And I know European countries recommend that you don't go to Czech Republic right now. Okay. We have to wear masks everywhere as of this week. So things are going back up pretty quickly.
Kind of, yeah, adding to that, I think the first time around, like Czechs are very individualistic people, but they also believed in what the government was saying and they did listen. And you could see the first time around, like Czechs were doing very well. And I think I don't think it's the second wave, but since it's like summer hit and the numbers are going up again, and I think the government's sort of unsure of what to do as well, I think people are almost losing a little bit of faith. So say the government kind of says one thing 1 week and then kind of says something else the other week. I have quite a few like local Czech friends, and that's kind of what their impression of it's been. And they're kind of, yeah, they're a little hesitant, like with who to believe and stuff. Like, do they believe the doctors or the politicians and everything? So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess right now.
Also, they implemented masks. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, where they said now you have to wear masks from, you know, in a few weeks, and then a few days after they took that back, and then now they're implementing masks again. So it's like on off.
Right.
But I've noticed this week that we have to wear masks again. Like everyone is wearing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And starting today, it's in every building, every metro, every subway. So now we're on full on mask mode again. So hopefully that'll kind of slow things down. But
yeah, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to really understand kind of what is, you know, what should you do and what shouldn't you do. Yeah, I've spoken to a lot of people in a lot of different countries, and yes, it's very different country to country, but sometimes you feel like just do the same thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody's on the same page and can, just crazy.
Right.
So you guys have kind of traveled and you've lived in many different places. Talk to me a little bit about sort of what makes Prague and the Czech Republic special for you guys that, you know, now you've kind of decided to stay put for a bit.
Well, for us, I think the main thing is the community, where we've lived in Canada, we've lived in Denmark, and it's either been like my friends or Joe's friends. And I feel like Prague has sort of been the first place where we've found a community together, and where we've both absolutely loved living. Like, this is why we've came back for the second time, because we were here the first time and we sort of, I wouldn't say we made a mistake, but we left and we made other plans, and then we realized how much we missed Prague and the Czech Republic. So yeah. We kind of, yeah, we wanted to come back, and I think we made the right decision. Hey, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We have really great friends here that we met through the course that Dom's taken, the TEFL course, and there's just in general there's a really good expat community. Like anywhere you go in the neighborhood we live in, and we could talk more to that if you want. But it's like a really good expat community, and like there is expat. Like not clubs, that's not the right word, but like bars and like communities that you can go to and meet other
lots
expat people.
There's
co-working spaces, lots of events. Yeah.
And for me also, I think like the locals here really want to make expat friends and stuff. Of course, me speaking Czech, it's slightly easier, but I joined, it's a sport, it's called spike ball. It's actually quite popular in America, but I joined a spike ball community and I've become really close friends with a bunch of people. And then even by just connecting with Czechs, they tell you like different places to visit in the country, like different restaurants, all sorts of stuff that maybe if you didn't know locals, you wouldn't necessarily know. Of course, you can use Google and all that stuff, but you know, Google doesn't know everything. So it's kind of fun making those connections with locals. And even I taught English and half of the English lessons were conversational and it was basically me speaking English with these locals and they were just telling me like things about the country and things to do. So it was a win-win for both of us and it was awesome.
Oh, I love that. And you're so right. I mean, when you go to a place and you actually, you know, meet somebody and you say, okay, so where can I go for a good cup of coffee? 9 out of 10 times, it's not something you would find in a guidebook. And that's
never. Special.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't want to go to all the touristy spots and, you know, just kind of feel like it's just, I don't know, like a big crowded mess.
Exactly. And where I think it's nice having the balance with the expat community and the local community, because you kind of, yeah, of course you want to bond with people that you have connections with and you're a small community from abroad and you have those friends, but it's also nice. Yeah. Meeting the locals and making new friends that way and stuff. So yeah, I find that here we have a good balance of that and it's just a really good place to live.
That's awesome. So since you are so knowledgeable on the local hangouts, if, you know, for example, if I were to come or if somebody was to plan a trip, at some point, where would you take us? So sort of give us an itinerary on kind of where to go, what to expect, you know, things to do that maybe you won't find in like Lonely Planet Guide.
Ooh, an itinerary. Okay. Well, first, I just want to say for North America, public transport and like taking trains and stuff, I feel at least in my part of Canada is sort of non-existent. I don't, maybe, is it different for you in kind of around Chicago and stuff? Kartika,
so the city of Chicago is actually pretty well connected. We have what we call the L, which is like a train around the city. But when you go from cities to suburb or suburb to suburb, it's non-existent. You have to have a car.
Yeah, exactly. We're in Europe or in Czech Republic's really good for that. Is the train system here is superb. So you can, as much as I think Prague is a amazing city to visit and there's so much to see, I think of course you want to spend a day or two here, but there's so many national parks, there's so many smaller cities that are just maybe a 2 or 3 hour train ride away. I mean, I don't even know how many castles are in the Czech Republic, but there's so many castles to visit. So I would definitely say take we have a few places that we've been to that we would absolutely recommend. We have Teplice Rocks, we have Bohemian Switzerland, we have Snezhka, which is the tallest mountain in the Czech Republic, and these are all kind of like mountain towns and they're very like easily accessible by train. So it's not like you come to this foreign country, you don't speak the language and you're like, oh my god, how do I get there? So we have a few apps that we recommend to use, and yeah, you can kind of see the whole country in a very easy way, and there's the nature and everything here is marvelous. So it's, I would definitely recommend kind of going outside of the capital city instead of just being
and see the Czech nature. Also, it's super cheap to travel around here. Like we just went to Slovakia actually, and the train ticket was like $20 one way.
Oh wow. Okay.
And so imagine traveling within the country is even cheaper.
And that was a 7 hour train ride, so it was for $20.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you go up north, I think if you go to Snezhka, don't correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's around $10 one way to get there, and you can go directly by bus and it's like 3 hours, 3.5 hours maybe.
Wow. So how about like hotels, and are those kind of very fairly cheap too, like hotels, food and all that stuff, or is it just transportation is easier then?
Yeah. So Czech is very like divided by the touristy spots and the non-touristy spots. Mm-hmm. I'd say like if you go downtown Prague to the old town, what the area that's called Prague 1, you can see the prices are like 50% more than they are in the outskirts of the city.
Okay.
But a coffee here is like 60 crowns, which is
just under three American.
$3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a meal you can easily get for $8. A beer is $2. Hotel would be, I don't know about a fancy hotel, but the place we stayed up in the mountains was just over $20 per night.
Wow.
So that's, yeah, so there's some really good prices. Yeah.
Yeah, that's unheard of. I mean, where can you get a hotel for like $20 a night? Come on.
It's, yeah. And one thing I just want to, even like growing up in my family, growing up, it was very common that Czechs have, they're called like huttas. Basically, it's like cabins, and they're maybe not the prettiest and not the fanciest, but it's just a part of their culture. Like, even if someone lived in a small city, on the weekend, they would always go out of the city and kind of go spend the weekend at their cabin. So I feel like if you come visit Czech, maybe either if you know a local or just maybe go to a small town, go to a small mountain town or somewhere in the wilderness and stay in one of these cabins just for the weekend in a small town and kind of get that experience.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of it's a unique experience, but yeah, it's charming in its in its own way.
Yeah, that absolutely sounds amazing. And I love nature and I love the mountains. I am pretty vocal about that. So any place that has mountains, I'm like so there.
Same.
And that's the thing. Everybody knows Prague and everybody knows like this beautiful city in Central Europe. And it is, like, don't get me wrong, it's stunning. But their Czech Republic has a lot more to offer than just its capital city.
Hey there. I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these, and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Now, one thing that, you know, I'm seeing, and I think you guys probably might agree, given that you're in the travel industry, a lot of travel, especially now, is changing to more sort of grassroots. I mean, people are looking for, you know, road trips or, you know, off the beaten path, hyper-localized sort of experiences. So I'm going to ask you guys a few questions, and this is just your sort of, you know, personal favorites, right? So again, this is so that we get a little bit insight into Prague and the Czech Republic and sort of what you guys like, okay? So what is your favorite restaurant and why?
Oh, there's so many. Honestly, Prague is an underrated food capital. Like, there's so much good food here. Some of the places close by that I really liked is a place called Marthy's Kitchen. That's like right around the corner from where we live. It's kind of like more in the, like the IG friendly food.
Okay.
It's like, you know, portobello burgers and avocado, toast and like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And they have lots of veggie options, like good drinks. It's just a really nice,
brunch till 4 p.m.
It's like a cute little cafe. Brunch till 4 p.m. Yeah, it's really good. there's also a good place called Ubulino that has like traditional Czech food. I really like that one too. Usado is another good place for Czech food.
Sorry, Joe, just in case anyone wants to know what a traditional Czech dish is, it's like, it could be like roast duck or some meat, and then they do dumplings. So either like potato dumplings or like flour dumplings, and then with like a lot of sauerkraut, so like red sauerkraut or yeah, white sauerkraut
with regular,
sauerkraut. Yeah, so that's kind of like your standard, not the healthiest, but
and lots of sauce,
but very, very delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dumplings aren't like the Asian dumplings you may know. It's like it's more like
it's very
compact.
Is it called pierogi?
No.
Okay.
That's different.
No,
that's
not.
Yeah, that's
like
Poland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What we like, it's like very, the bread version is like a very compact bread. Like, it's just like very heavy and it sucks up like all the sauce.
Okay.
And then you have a potato version that just looks like a flat, thick potato. It's kind of hard to explain. Dom, can you explain it better?
I mean, I've seen my grandma do it multiple times, but yeah, basically you like roll it up into like, it looks like a baguette, but then you almost like steam it, And then you grab these, like, it almost looks like floss, and then you kind of just cut it, and then they turn into these like flat little pancake circles. Oh, and yeah, they're sort of used to just vacuum up the sauce with the meat. And if they're
delicious.
it's very filling food. The Czech food is definitely very filling. And then
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So what is your favorite activity?
Ooh, Joe, what do you think? I think if me and Joe were to pick an activity together, it would be definitely, we have a place called Boards and Brews really close to our home, and it's, we're suckers for board games. So it's kind of this like cute cafe / board game place where they have like tons and tons of games where you can kind of sit down, have some popcorn. And it's a really fun place to go with your friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one would have to be the park's called Rugrovi Sadi, which is like, it's like sort of this like expat park right near our house. But everybody goes there in the evening just with like a bottle of wine or a few beers. And there's like benches. And then you get this view overlooking Old Town. And then also the castle in the background, and then the sun sets like directly behind the castle. So it's like, it sort of is this like absolutely picturesque sort of spot to go. And we have it like 5 minutes from our house. So we're definitely very fortunate to be kind of living in the area that we live in.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, you talked about how Prague and the Czech Republic in itself is, you know, kind of, there are mountains and there are these little towns. So it sounds like there's a lot of nature around you. So are there any outdoor spaces that maybe are more of a, I don't know, locals hangout that you guys kind of like to visit?
Like in the city or outside of the city?
Either way.
One thing I find in Czech is that local people and the expats also, like, to an extent, like the tourists as well, like, kind of like hang out some of the same places. Okay. Like, there is if you go to the place called Letna Beer Gardens, there's a lot of local people, and that's close to where we lived last year, so that's closer to the castle. That's a really cool place where you can sit and have a beer and overlook the city, but like a lot of tourists will come there too, but that doesn't stop the local people from going there. There's also a park close to where we go or where we live that's called Havlicek Gardens, where I see a lot of like local people running in the morning and going for walks with their dogs and hanging out with friends. Czech people are just in general like very outdoorsy, so in the city they do activities like running and walking, and I've seen people slacklining and playing games and frisbee and stuff. And then, you know, when they leave the city, they go mountain biking and hiking and all these different activities.
Yeah, even cross-country skiing is really popular. Sort of those more like free and affordable sports that maybe back in the day during communism, where say maybe something like downhill skiing was a little bit more expensive, where cross-country skiing is sort of free.
Yeah.
And then even, yeah, we got playing this sport called spikeball, which I mentioned before. And that's also, you can kind of just find a park wherever, and Prague's filled with parks. So wherever you go, you can kind of just set up and play or have some drinks. And we even found just recently this place, it's called Žluté Lázně, and it's basically just a few miles south of the city, where you're still in the city, but you're right on the river, and you can just like play ping pong. There's a gym there, you can have drinks, eat food, and then just like sit back and relax, and you almost feel like you're on vacation, but you're only a few miles away from the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are kind of like,
it sounds like an amazing place, I have to say.
Yeah, and it's right by the river. Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
And we said it before, but like the public transport is fantastic. So like wherever you go, it might look like it's like an hour away on the map, but you can get there in 20 minutes with public transport. So it's super convenient that way.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, are there sort of any, I guess I could call it like local experiences that perhaps might not be in like a traditional, you know, tour or something like that? Like, you know, maybe visiting the castle is something typical, but what are some like atypical things that people can do if they come and visit?
Ooh, I do think there are tons of things that say that wouldn't just be in a TripAdvisor guidebook or anything. I think, of course, soccer, or what they call here football, is really popular to go to, and there's a few teams in the city that play that, like going to one of those or a hockey game. You can hire boats and even like paddle boats down the river. And like I just mentioned, you don't have to necessarily stay in the middle of the city, but you can kind of take it out where you're still by yourself and you're just outside of the city, which is really fun.
Yeah,
there's tons. Can you name a few others, Joe, that you can kind of think of on the top of your head?
Yeah, there's also that park towards the airport. What's that called, Tom? There's like a really cool there's a really cool park that you can go to.
Divoká Šárka.
That's the one. And you can go for like a short little hike there and like just enjoy nature, and it's really pretty.
I think the coolest part about lots of these places is just you're still in the city, but you have no idea you're even in the city because like you don't see downtown or anything, and you're a few miles away, but you're still right there, but you feel like you're absolutely somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
And then one and more I just wanted to, I just wanted to add is, of course, like Czech Republic is the beer drinking capital of the world. So I know you can drink beer anywhere, but you can kind of find these like smaller breweries kind of like on the outskirts of town. And even if you just go and kind of chat up the locals and you can have a drink or two there, like that's a very, very fun thing to do in the Czech Republic. And it's
cheap. Yeah, there's one close to here. It's called Vinohradsky Pivovar. Pivovar means brewery.
Okay.
So that's maybe 20 minutes from the center. And you have this local little brewery, and there's another one, I'm pronouncing this wrong, but Pusserniki Pivovar, that's a little further out of the city, but like just lots of small breweries, and we're going to come across as big drinkers now, but we're not. But just like there's like a huge like drinking and food culture here, and people just like Czech people love going out. Like you'll see them out having dinner with friends like every night or like drinks. And there's like Vinotekars here, which is like a wine shop, but you go in, you buy a glass of wine, and you go outside and you stand outside the wine store and you just mingle. Like you don't even sit down, you just stand out there, and then you can go in and like fill up your glass again. So it's like a place purely for wine.
I love what you said about you know, the people being like, you know, socializing and kind of hanging out. That's, you know, going out, that's very, you know, that's very typical for them. And it's always interesting to hear that, because not all countries are like that. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to do that. It's just that, you know, when you learn the local dynamics, it just feel like, okay, you know something about the place and you can kind of relate more to it.
Because you kind of associate like Spain or Italy to that sort of like that lifestyle. But yeah, Czechs, like definitely walking around here, you can kind of see that every evening, people. And like they love singing. There's even right under our bedroom window, we have a cafe, and it's called like the Traveling Luggage. And every Thursday night, actually in about 3 hours, there's going to be a live singer, and the band, they play for a few hours, and it's so fun. So we open up our bedroom window and just listen to music for an hour or two. It's awesome.
How fun is that?
With our apartment so much. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think you're going to have a lot of people who listen to this kind of reach out to you guys and say, how
do you get? we have an extra bedroom, so there you go.
It definitely sounds like a very fun place and a very cool city for sure. The next couple of questions is probably going to be a little bit more of sort of your personal perspective. And I know everybody has, you know, different opinions. So whatever you're comfortable sharing is totally okay. Given that you guys are in the travel industry, you guys are travel bloggers, you've kind of, you know, living that nomadic lifestyle, where do you think travel is headed in the future, especially given everything that we've sort of dealt with for the past 6 months and some, you know, and probably for the near future?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a slow comeback. Like it's going to take a while before travel is going to go back to how we knew it, you know, before this whole pandemic. And I don't know if it's going to go back to like the exact same. I think what I see in the digital nomad community and the more travel versus tourism industry is like in the travel industry, I think people are going to do more like slow traveling and maybe more, more privately. Like from what I think is that people aren't going to go to the same like 5-star resorts or 4-star resorts with like buffets and stuff and just hang out. I think it's going to be more, maybe more road trips. It's going to be more Airbnbs. And from friends I've talked to, they want to go on like a 2 or 4 week trip instead and stay in one Airbnb or like B&B or something, like stay more privately and then just explore that area and not use too much public transport. And so go hiking and like for walks and like explore the local area versus, you know, doing 2 days in Paris, 2 days in Barcelona, 2 days in like Rome and so on.
Right.
I think that part's going to change, at least in the digital nomad community. And then I think there's going to be more restrictions set in place and like more health security installed. Like even now we're seeing it when you have to travel. I know you can't leave the US really, but in Europe you can sort of travel between certain countries. And so some of them have put up restrictions where you need to get a COVID test before you need to get a negative COVID test before you can travel to the country. You can't just get tested. You need a negative test. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's going to be, it's going to be a little different than it was before. And I think that's going to be in a good way.
Yeah. And I think just adding to that, like Joe said, the slow travel, but I read an article that Airbnb posted and they said like their numbers were picking up, but it wasn't people say wanting to visit San Francisco, people wanting to visit LA. It was people in some small city and Googling where's the nearest national park and then somewhere where they could drive with a tank of gas, maybe if it's 2 hours away or 3 hours away, and then finding, say, maybe an Airbnb or something in like that small city. So instead of, say, people going to these big capital cities, they're maybe kind of going more like the adventurous route and somewhere where they can, I don't know, maybe go explore or go walk around.
Off the beaten path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kind of where there's, not as many people, basically.
Yeah, I think I probably read the same article you did. Because I remember reading this and also, you know, kind of unique homes, right? Like tree houses and RVs and, you know, yurts.
And those tiny houses.
Yeah, exactly. Those are really picking up. And it's interesting because now it's like people are still, I don't think we'll ever stop traveling. I think that's too much ingrained in our whole kind of DNA. But I think definitely the whole mass produced, the whole, you know, kind of everybody taking that Instagram selfie will change. Which I think is not necessarily a bad thing. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. That's the thing, like the
simplicity.
We've
kind of seen that in Prague too.
The simplicity of travel, like how easy is it to, just like for us, just to move to Czech Republic. It's so much easier than it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago for people to move across the world. So it's just, of course, the traveling is going to grow and grow. But yeah, I think maybe it's just going to take a different direction.
Yeah.
I mean, we're also very privileged that we're able to do that because I know not everyone is able to, but I do see in the future there's going to be, not related to COVID, but related to the whole digital nomad community and people working online. I've seen a trend in countries opening up for visas. If you work online and have a job and make X amount of money, which is, it's not like a lot for the Western world. Like I think a lot of countries have restrictions for like maybe like $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month, just as a minimum. And I know that's a lot of money for a lot of people, but for the Western world, that's often like possible for people to do. But yeah, I see these different countries opening up with freelance visas, just as the Czech Republic has done. So I think there's going to be some opportunities there in the next coming years where people can move to a country more long term.
Especially with all these people kind of being able to work from home and stuff.
Exactly. And I see that, you know, I see that even in not just the working community, like with my kids and, you know, with school is online. And so a lot of families are moving back to grandparents, kind of, you know, helping to help the fact that the parents are working and they are online and they kind of are not able to take care of the kids. But now it's like the whole family unit is together. So it's very, very interesting to kind of see how the world is changing. And adapting. I mean, I think, you know, there's more to come for sure.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely plenty of positives that have come from it. It's just like we just hopefully say once this pandemic's over that we don't just instantly go back to how things were before. If we can kind of take some of these things that we've learned or whatever and then kind of use those moving forward.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. Now, what are, I know this might not be in the near future, but eventually, I guess, what are your travel plans? Where would you guys like to go next?
I think we kind of have similar ideas on it. Right now with our blog, like we're very hiking orientated and we're very focused on the hiking aspect of our blog because it's sort of a digital nomad slash outdoor adventure blog. And I think Iceland's always kind of been on our list. And I think if we can maybe in the next year or two, depending what happens, if we can go to Iceland, I think that will be an epic place to kind of just go and
adventure. We really want to go to Slovenia as well. Slovenia is high on the list. We were actually supposed to go recently, but then the borders sort of closed down for us, so we couldn't. But that's a place we really want to go visit in the national parks, like up northwest with all the mountains and the lakes in that area. Just any place that's like outdoorsy. Yeah. But before that, we're hoping to go back and visit my family in Denmark.
Okay.
If COVID will allow it. And then we are also planning a trip to Sweden because we have some friends that are getting married there.
Oh, awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of places to go when everything clears out or when you're able to. And I can't I can't wait to see what adventures you guys have. I've checked out the blog and it's amazing. So I'm a big hiking
and thanks so much.
Outdoor person. So yeah, definitely. Well, thank you both. This was amazing. Like I said earlier too.
Yeah, this is really fun.
Prague sounds like a fantastic place. And yeah.
I mean, we have that extra bedroom. So whenever you're here, Kartika, you're more than welcome.
I will definitely take you up on it, especially when I have my late in life gap year, right?
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed this show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.